right. So, tonight we are kicking off a new series on the parables of Jesus. Now, parables were simply stories that teachers back during Jesus' time often told to make a point. When they were teaching, they sometimes knew to get their point across, they needed to tell a story. And they realized sometimes you can actually convey or communicate truth better through a story than by simply saying it. Sometimes you can engage people, or you can kind of shake people, or you can open their eyes up to something when you tell them a story. Give you a quick example. In the Old Testament, one time in David's life, King David, remember there's King David in the Old Testament. One time in his life, he did something really bad. He stole another guy's wife. He slept with her. And then to cover it all up, he murdered the other guy. And his buddy Nathan knew he did all this, and he knew it was horrible, but he decided not to just go straight to David and confront him and say, like, you did this, you know, horrible, terrible thing, and, you know, repent and all those kind of things. He went up to David as the king, and he said, hey, David, let me tell you a story. So you're the king, and let's say in your kingdom of Israel, there's a guy who's really rich and has a whole bunch of sheep. He's got, like, all the sheep he could ever want. And then there's a poor guy, and the poor guy only has one sheep. He can only afford to have one sheep. And what if the rich guy goes and steals the poor guy's one sheep? What would you say to that as king? And David said, well, that's horrible. Like, that guy should be put to death for doing that. To which Nathan looks back at him and says, look in the mirror, David. That's what you did. And David all of a sudden knew, because the truth hit him through this story. Because stories are powerful. Parables are powerful. And that's why Jesus told them over and over and over to communicate. And so for the next 10 weeks, we're going to look at a whole bunch of the stories or the parables that Jesus told during the summer. So tonight, we're going to jump into one parable in particular that's found in Luke chapter 18. So if you're one of those people that likes to find it in your Bible and kind of read along, you can look it up and take a couple minutes to find that. And let me tell you, before we do read it in a few minutes, what this parable is about. It's about injustice. And it would be easy, as we read this strange story, and some of you might be familiar with it, some of you have maybe never heard the story that Jesus told, it would be easy, as we think about this idea of injustice, to think about all the things in our world that are unjust. I mean, we could think of some horrible things. We could think of how so many of us live in relative comfort, while there's so many people in other parts of the world that live in terrible poverty. We could think about, you know, what warlords are doing in Sudan or in Somalia. We could think about children who are still starving. We could think about children who are dying of preventable diseases. We could think about people who don't even have access to clean water, something all of us take for granted. Even in the place we go down in Guatemala, don't have access to simple, clean water. And we could think about all of these terrible injustices in the world, but let's all be honest for a second. That's not what keeps most of us up at night, is it? Like, most of us don't lay awake at night thinking about all the horrible things in the world and why things aren't different. Most of us stay awake late at night because of the injustice that happens in our lives, right? I mean, something happens at work where you do something and you don't really get the credit for it. And somebody else takes the credit. Or you take your car to the mechanic, and the mechanic charges you twice as much as they should, and yet you don't really have any other options, and you just feel like it's so unjust what they've done. Or maybe you don't get the promotion that you feel like you deserve. Or maybe a friend betrays you. Or maybe somebody is spreading a rumor about you, and it's totally false. Or maybe someone accuses you of something that you didn't really do. And in those situations in our life, there's a part of us that kind of calls out to God and says, God, like, did you see what just happened? Did you see what this person is doing? Do you see they're taking the credit for it and I should have got, you know? Or God, here I am. I'm sitting nicely in traffic. Did you see that guy just go on the shoulder and, like, go up and then cut, like, do something about that guy? Like, make him wreck or get a ticket or where are the cops or, you know, do something. And so we call out to God. And we say, God, Are you going to intervene here? Are you going to take care of this? Do you see what's happening? Do you hear my prayers? Because that's basically what they are when we call it to God. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? And sometimes it feels like God doesn't hear them. Sometimes it feels like things get worse or nothing changes or the situation just kind of keeps going and nothing ever gets any better. And I think Jesus knew that we would have these circumstances throughout our lives where there would be some sort of injustice that we feel like we've been wrong, we've been hurt, and somebody needs to pay. And so he decided to address it. Now, the people that he was talking to probably faced a whole lot more injustice than we do. I mean, during that time when Jesus was teaching, the people were oppressed by the Romans. And then they were also, the common people were mostly oppressed by the religious leaders. And they just could never really have much going their way. And so there was just a lot of injustice taking place. And so Jesus decided to tell them a story, to give them a new perspective of how they should think about this in their lives. And so this is what he says, starting in Luke chapter 18. And Luke is one of the versions of this story, and this is what he says in verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Now, let me stop there for a second, because Luke basically tells us right up front what the parable or what the story is going to be about. And this is highly unusual. This doesn't happen with any of the other parables, so we don't know if Jesus, like, pulled his guys aside and said, hey, I'm about to tell you a parable, but since you seem to never get what my parables are about, let me just tell you ahead of time what it's about this time so you can track along with it. Maybe Jesus did that. Probably not, because it doesn't seem like he ever did that on any other occasion. So probably this is Luke, who wrote this story down, you know, a number of years later. He's writing it down, and he knows where Jesus is going with this, and he just wants to tip us off as readers. And so he says, this is why Jesus told the parable, to show people they should always pray and not give up. Now, you might be saying, well, that's not about injustice. I thought this was a parable about injustice. Well, the two are connected, and we'll get there in a second. But look at how Jesus starts it off. Verse 2, he said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. So Jesus tells a story. These parables, they're made-up stories. They're not real stories, but they're very true to life. And so he describes what was very common in that day. There was a judge in every local town. And so he says, pretend there's a local town like the one we're in, wherever they were. And there's this local judge. And let me tell you about the local judge. And they would have known the judges were people that they brought all of their cases to. When someone had a complaint, when someone had something that was wrong, when there was a legal matter, they took it to the one judge, and the one judge made the decision based on what he thinks they should do. And so Jesus says, pretend there's this local judge, and he neither fears God or cares what people think about him. Now, this is kind of like the worst case scenario when you think about a judge. Like going before someone who's going to maybe decide your case, and this person neither fears God, and in that circumstance, everyone was religious. So this person neither feared God, they didn't care about what God thought, and they didn't care about what other people thought. And so Jesus paints a picture of this really kind of bad judge. In fact, you remember one day, Jesus was walking along, he was teaching, and a guy came up to him and he said, hey, Jesus, if you could take like the entire Bible and sum it up, like really briefly, if you could just take everything that you think God wants us to do or everything that we should do in life, and you could just sum it up into like one statement, one thing, what would it be? And you remember Jesus said, yeah, I can do that. It's love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, and then there's just one more. There's a second one. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Those two things. If you just focus on those two things, that's all you need to do. The whole Bible can be summarized by those two things. Love God, love others. Love God, love others. And here Jesus describes this guy, and he doesn't love God, and he doesn't love others. He doesn't care about God, he doesn't care about others. So who do you think he does care about? Himself, right. That's the only person that this guy really cares about. So that's the picture that Jesus paints. But then he gives us a contrast. Verse 3. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. Now, we don't know much about this woman. She was obviously a widow. She had lost her husband. She probably didn't have many people standing up for her. And something had happened in her life. We don't know if someone had come and stolen something from her, maybe taken property from her, maybe given her exorbitant interest on some debt she owed, or maybe she had repaid a debt, but they said she hadn't repaid the debt, and now they're trying to take more from her. We don't really know, but somebody is taking advantage of this widow. And so she comes to this judge, and it says she kept coming to him over and over and over, saying, give me justice. Give me justice. And it's this guy who's taking advantage of me. He's oppressing me. It's not fair. It's not right. I don't deserve this. Give me justice. And look at how Jesus continues the story. For some time, he refused. Now, before we read on, basically, this judge, remember, doesn't care about himself or doesn't care about other people, doesn't care about God, only cares about himself. So on and on and on, this widow keeps coming to him and he doesn't care. He's not listening to it. He's resolved in his heart and his mind, I'm not going to do anything for her. I could care less about her. So for some time he refused, but the story continues. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what other people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Now, literally, that last part of the phrase is, I'll see that she gets justice because, and it can literally be translated, because she's wearing me out, or because she's beating me up, or she's giving me, it was like an expression, she's giving me a black eye, or so that she doesn't give me a black eye. And it's not that he was really thinking she was going to come and actually beat him up, or physically, like, you know, attack him. He's basically saying, look, you keep coming to me over and over and over and over, and I'm getting so tired of listening to you, and I'm getting so tired of hearing, like, you're wearing me out, you're beating me up, like, I just cannot take this anymore. So, like, here's your justice, and just don't come back any more. And so he gives her justice. Now, is his decision based on compassion? No. Is it based on love? No. Is it based on grace or mercy? No. Is it based on pity? No. Is it even based on justice itself? No. He just wants to get her off of his back, and he can't take it. She's like badgering him to death. He just wants to get rid of her. And so he gives her what she wants and tells her to move on. Now, at this point in the story, you might be wondering what the disciples were wondering when they were first listening to this. Because they knew Jesus well enough to know, when he tells these parables, every character represents somebody. And usually one of the characters represents God. And if it's a judge, that probably represents God. So God is the judge. And the judge doesn't care about God or people. And he gets badgered into get like, no, wait a second, Jesus, because this isn't adding up. This doesn't fit into like our categories. And Jesus knew they were probably trying to struggle figuring out what he's saying. And so, look at what he says next. Next verse. And then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? You see, Jesus is saying, look, if an unjust judge, if a guy who doesn't care about God, doesn't care about God's word or God's morals or anything like that, if a guy who doesn't care about other people, if a guy who doesn't care about other people or God and only cares about himself and it's only going to do things that are in his best interest, if you can eventually badger and pester a guy like that into finally giving you justice, well, then how much more a God who is like your father a God who views you like his children, how much more confidence you can have that when you go to God, that he'll grant you justice. And then it's like Jesus gets personal because he says, will God not bring about justice for his chosen ones, like his people, his children, who cry out to him day and night? In other words, for you, maybe you're in a situation right now where you feel like you're just calling out to God and saying, God, I can't take this anymore. I can't, like, you've just got to intervene. So for those who are calling out for him day and night, and you know, maybe that's you, maybe you've just called out to him a couple times and then you've given up, and he's saying, look, don't give up. Do you think God's ignoring you? Do you think God is putting you off? Which, I think when Jesus says that, that's actually a little bit comforting. It's almost like Jesus is recognizing that there are times in our lives where we really do feel like God is putting us off. Because there's plenty of times where I've prayed for something, you know, for days, or maybe, you know, once, you know, on Monday, and it hasn't happened. And I'm like, okay, God, you must be putting me off. Like, you're ignoring me. You're not answering my prayers. It feels like I keep telling you about, don't you see what he did? Don't you see what they're doing? It's so unfair. It's not right. Here I am. I'm doing the best I can. I'm trying, you know. Don't you see that? And it's like Jesus is saying, it's okay. It's okay to go to God and say, God, it feels. Now, maybe in my head I don't think this, but at least in my heart it feels like you're putting me off. It feels like you're not answering me. It feels like you don't care. And Jesus acknowledges that. But look at what he says next. He says, I tell you, verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, he says, I know you feel like God's maybe ignoring you. I know you feel like he doesn't see you or hear you. But I'm telling you, God will see that you who are calling out to him get justice. And it'll happen quickly. And the word could even be translated suddenly. It's going to happen quickly and suddenly, to which many of us would go, hasn't happened quickly in my life. Like, hadn't happened, like, just, you know, what you're saying's not lining up with what you're doing. It just doesn't seem like it fits, Jesus. And yet, then Jesus says something at the very end that almost seems like he's switching gears. It almost seems like, where are you going with that? Are there some verses missing, you know, that we miss? Like, what's happening here? But it's like Jesus is pulling the curtain back. And he's saying, let me just drive this home by giving you a different perspective. He says, however, I know you don't think God hears you, and I know you don't think it's going to happen quickly and all that, but however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, there's going to be a day where Jesus is going to come back. And I know that's weird, and I know that's different, and I know we may not all believe that, but it's like Jesus saying, there's going to be a day when I'm coming back, and what you need to begin to understand is that the ultimate answer to your problem of injustice, the ultimate answer to the pain and suffering in this world, the ultimate answer to the trials and the tribulations that you go through, the ultimate answer to the junk in your life that you're calling out to God for may not actually be found in this life. Because one day, Jesus will come back. And on that day, he will make everything right. And the Bible says he'll take all the things that are wrong and he'll make them right. And he'll take all the things that are bad and he'll make them good. And he'll take all the things that are broken and unjust, and he'll fix them, and he will make them just. It says that he's going to come back, and on that day, he's going to take everything and make it new and good and right. And he'll wipe away all the tears from our eyes, and he'll take all the pain, and he'll take all the suffering, and it'll all be gone. But here's the question. Do we have faith until that day? Like, are we willing to say, God, I've got this thing, and I need you to intervene, and I need justice, and this isn't fair, and I'm not getting what I deserve, or he's not getting what he deserves, and I need this right now. I need you to intervene, but if my timetable is different than your timetable, I'm going to trust in you until you do intervene. If my schedule is different than your schedule, I'm going to trust in you until that point. And by the way, I'm going to keep badgering you, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep telling you what's going on, and I'm going to keep doing that, God, until you either change my situation or you change my heart. Because I'm going to trust that you'll intervene at the right time, and I'm going to trust that ultimately there will be a day when everything sees full justice. And until that day, I'm not going to take it into my own hands. I'm not going to make myself the judge. I'm not going to worry all the time about who's getting what they deserve and who's not. I'm going to trust in you. Now, I think there's a few implications from this story that Jesus told. The first is, my hunch is there's some of us here tonight who are upset with God. Maybe you're mad at God. And we don't necessarily see it on your face because we're all pretty good when we come to church at, you know, making things seem like everything's going great in life and I'm good at that and you're good. We're all good at that. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. But deep down, there's probably some of us here who, if you went deep down enough, we'd admit, yeah, I'm upset with God. I'm mad at him because of what happened to me this week. Because of what happened to me last month. Because of what happened to me last year. Maybe because of something that happened years ago that you're still carrying and still holding on to. And if that's where you're at, I think Jesus would look at you and he'd say, you know what? You've got to take that thing. You've got to take that person. And you've got to give it over to God. And you've got to trust him with it. And it's okay to take it to God and keep saying, you know, God, would you grant me justice in this situation? But ultimately, you got to hand it to him and say, but I'm going to trust until you do that you have a much bigger perspective than I do. Another implication from this story, and this one's a little bit more challenging or difficult. Maybe you're someone here tonight and you're the source of injustice. Maybe there's somebody you've hurt. Maybe over the past week, there's somebody you wronged or you took advantage of or you discriminated against or you just hurt. And I think if that's true, and maybe, you know, God has brought something to your mind right now, he would say, you need to deal with it. You need to come to me and you need to deal with it, and you need to go to them and you need to deal with it. And you need to ask for their forgiveness and say, I'm sorry, I hurt you. Would you forgive me? And what can I do to make it right? Because the truth is, we can deal with stuff now, or we can deal with stuff later. But Jesus says, one day I'm coming back. And the Bible says that when he does come back, we don't know what it's going to look like, but we're all going to stand before him and give an account for everything in our lives. And I just feel like it would be better to deal with it now in my life than to wait until then. And so maybe there's something that you need to deal with. But the third implication from this story is this. You might be here tonight and you might be wondering, well, if Jesus is really coming back, and that's still a little kind of strange and weird, and I'm not sure I fully buy into that whole idea, but let's just pretend that's true. If Jesus is really coming back and he's going to make everything right one day when he does, why doesn't he just come back now? Why doesn't he just make everything right now? I mean, if Jesus could take care of all the injustice in the world, and he could take care of all the injustice in my life, why doesn't he just come back and deal with it right now? And the answer is because he's waiting. And because he knows that there's still people out there that he wants to give a chance to respond to him. And so it's like in his love and his grace and his mercy, it's like those things are holding back his justice for right now, because he knows there's still people out there that he wants to freely give his love and his grace and his mercy to, and they could still respond to him. And so he's waiting to give them that opportunity. But he's not going to wait forever. So when he does come back, we need to look forward to that. And until that time, we need to keep believing. We need to keep praying, maybe even badgering him, but ultimately trusting in him. Not only to be our loving Savior, but to be the most just judge. Let me pray for us. Father God, it's easy to speak the words of trust or believe or put our confidence in. Those are easy things to say. But at times in our lives, they're really, really hard to do. And I know there's probably an area for each of us, there's probably an area of our lives that we just have a hard time trusting you with. And maybe tonight as we read this one story that you shared, maybe for some of us that's an area where we just feel like we've been wronged, or we've been hurt, or we feel like life just isn't fair, or we're a victim of some bigger system. Maybe there's not a face or a person attached to it. It's just a bigger system that we just feel like has pushed us down or hasn't treated us fairly. And so God, I pray that you would help us take those things, give them over to you. God, I pray we look forward to the day where you will make everything right. And I pray that we see that even beginning now, because there's times where you do intervene. And there's times where you do redeem brokenness in our lives. So I pray that the glimpses we see of that now would give us confidence that we can trust you with that in an eternal perspective. God, help us when we lack the faith to believe in you and trust in you. Give it to us if you need to. We pray this in your name.